to the Piney Pastors Podcast, the Elders Meeting After Show, where we hang out to discuss theology and issues relevant to covenant members at Piney Ridge Church in Wentzville, Missouri. It's like a Bible study, covenant members gathering, elders hangout, and talk show all wrapped up into one. And it's all about making disciples of Jesus Christ. So grab another cup of coffee and let's get started.
Shall we move on to talk about another aspect?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think another eschatology kind of issue or aspect that can be talked about, and it was brought up in that video that we referenced, that one of our covenant members had posted on Facebook for us to watch and kind of respond to, is what is the place of the nation of Israel in the scheme of the end times of the last days, mm-hmm. and what should be our interaction with and our interest in what's going on in the Middle East? Should we be constantly concerned about and invested in what's going on with the ethnic Jewish people?
Right.
And if so, why?
Kind of
why not?
Yeah, kind of the idea of if you are a Christian, if you're pro-God, you got to be pro-Israel.
Right.
Is that kind of part of that question? Yeah. Yeah, because I think that that is a almost an assumption that a lot of people have. That if
Well, sometimes it's an explicit statement that
right.
If you are a friend of God, you are a friend of national Israel.
Right, right.
Yeah. And so, which means... that you must almost implicitly approve of all that they do sometimes and be on their side and opposing anyone who opposes them on any mm-hmm. situation or issue. And that, I think that that can be problematic in many, many ways. What do you think, or maybe somebody explain what is a, not in super great detail, but what is... maybe a different belief from ours, alternative belief about the nation of Israel. Why is it there such a preoccupation and investment going on with in the Middle East that with people's thoughts about eschatology?
Well, Paul says in Rome something that we do agree with mm-hmm. because it's in, I said in Rome, in Romans 11, he says all Israel is going to be saved. And one of the questions is, what does he mean by all Israel?
Uh-huh.
And when is this going to happen? And how is it going to happen? And there are different... some people take that to mean that the nation of Israel, and based on some other prophecies in Ezekiel and maybe Daniel, that the temple is going to be rebuilt and that the system of sacrifices is going to and that is going to be resumed mm-hmm. and that God's going to bless and save Israel through that. And that's not scriptural.
That's anti-Christian.
It is anti-Christian. And by the way, the nation of Israel is anti-Christian. Less than 1% of the people that live in Israel are born again, to the best of our understanding. And
when we say anti-Christian, we don't mean that they are against Christians per se, as much as they
except
are.
Except, they're against the message of Christianity.
Right, against the gospel right. itself yeah. and against Christ in a sense.
Yeah. So that's not scriptural. There's only one way to the Father, and that is through Jesus Christ. Only one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through him. And so when Paul says all Israel will be saved, we're not sure what he means necessarily by all. Does that mean every person living at the time of Christ's return, that is ethnic Jew, is going to recognize him as their Messiah? That's the way that I tend to believe mm-hmm. That they're going to recognize him as a Messiah and they're going to just submit to him as their Savior and Lord and trust in him as their Savior and they're going to be saved. But that has nothing to do with the rebuilding of the temple. It has nothing to do with really with the nation of Israel right now, other than I think I think as Christians, we should have a love for ethnic Jews, maybe more than other people in the world, just in this sense, that they were the people chosen by God. They had the law, they were given the law, the prophets, mm-hmm. the Savior, Jesus was sent to them first.
Right.
I think that there is a reason.
Our blessing has come through the Jewish people, Jesus himself
exactly,
being Jewish.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so we certainly shouldn't be anti-Semitic.
Right.
And I
no.
think in some ways, in some senses, pro-Semitic. But I don't necessarily think that means that we need to have a blind
carte blanche. Yes, yeah.
A blind support for everything that the nation of Israel does. In fact, I believe that we should not.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and what passage or passages do you think others might go to, other than you talked about in Romans there, 11, that some people might say, well, there needs to be a temple being rebuilt and the sacrificial system resumed so that before Jesus returns. And why would they say that? Nathan's flipping through his
Bible. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so one passage would be 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where in verse 1, Paul says, "Now concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to him, we ask you, brothers, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed, either by a spirit or a spoken word or a letter seeming to be from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come." So he's saying, some people are spreading the word that the day of the Lord has already come, but he's saying, don't be deceived in that way. "For that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself against every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God." So, Paul's saying, nope, the day of the Lord has not come. Here's some things that have to happen before that day comes. And one of these is that this man of lawlessness or son of destruction has to take his seat in the temple of God. And so those who take this to be future, not only from Paul, but from us, would say,
there is no temple right now. So
there
we
is
got
no
a problem.
Temple. Temple has to be rebuilt in order for this to happen. So they're looking for that to still happen.
So why would we say that it would be not a good thing for the Jews to rebuild the temple and to resume the temple sacrifices?
Yeah, because the we preached through Mark. We really touched on this quite a bit, but because the summary of it is because Jesus fulfilled the temple, fulfilled the sacrifices, and that the temple and the temple sacrifices are obsolete mm-hmm. because Jesus brought those to an end. And in the New Testament, now when the temple is referred to after Christ's coming and his ascension, the references to the temple are talking about the people of God, the church, mm-hmm. that we are the temple. You are the temple of God and as the church. So the reconstruction and reestablishment of the temple would actually be a further, and the fact that there are in that video that Pastor points out that there is a party, a movement within the nation of Israel, and I'm guessing there always has been, to rebuild the temple, to reestablish temple sacrifices. But that is actually further evidence of their rejection of Jesus as the Messiah,
mm-hmm. yeah.
the one who was the temple, who was the final sacrifice.
So to me, in that sense, it seems a little bit problematic to say, I personally don't want them to rebuild the temple because I see how it dishonors Jesus because it's a further rejection of him. I personally do not want them to resume the temple sacrifices because Jesus is the sacrificial lamb, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and I want him to be honored, and I want Jews to believe in him, not to reject him. This is further rejection of him. So I don't want that, but I'm really excited if they do it because that means that finally Jesus can come again.
Mm-hmm.
What I think that's problematic. But what's the alternative? So if you read in 2 Thessalonians that the one who's standing in the place where he ought not to be, in the holy place, in the temple, you know, claiming himself to be God, if that has to happen before Jesus returns, what do we do? If there's no temple, doesn't the temple have to be rebuilt before Jesus can return? Why or why not?
Well, that prophecy was fulfilled
in
AD 70. It was also fulfilled in, about 160 BC.
Mm-hmm.
I can't name the names. Antiochus, I think.
Antiochus Epiphanes the IV was in 164, I think.
Yeah.
BC,
yeah, and then the same thing happened with the Roman, I don't know if it was the actual Caesar or his general
Titus.
Yeah, Titus, that did that. So that prophecy could have just been talking about that. It may happen again.
They might. Mm-hmm.
We're not saying it won't happen.
Right.
It may happen again. They may rebuild the temple and an Antichrist, or maybe the beast, maybe the ultimate beast, will go stand in the temple. We don't know that for sure or not.
They could build another 20 temples over the next 5,000 years.
They could. Right.
Yeah.
But I think, again, seeing the Nathan, you, I think you made the key point that the temple was destroyed. Jesus put an end to that. Okay, I mean, the original temple was the garden. A temple is where God meets with his people, mm-hmm. right?
And they meet to worship him.
And so the original temple was the garden.
Yep.
And then they had the tabernacle that we'll begin to talk about next year in the book of Exodus, mm-hmm. where the presence, the manifested presence of God was in the tabernacle, then the temple that Solomon built, then the temple after that that Nehemiah helped oversee and Ezra helped oversee the building of that. Then another temple. But that was destroyed. When Jesus was crucified, the curtain between the most holy place and the rest of the temple was ripped in half top to bottom because it was no longer needed. Mm-hmm. Because now the way into the holy place is through Jesus Christ.
One mediator between God and man.
It's right. And he's the high priest, but he's the curtain. I mean, he is. And then when we read in Revelation 21, verse 22, and I saw no temple in the city, talking about New Jerusalem, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. We will be able to see him face to face because we will have been glorified, and there will be nothing to separate us from the presence of God. And so the New Jerusalem is the fulfillment of, we've come almost full circle, only it's better.
Yeah.
From the garden where Adam and Eve walked with God to the New Jerusalem, new heaven, the new earth, where all those who are followers of Christ will spend an eternity in the fullness of joy, because we will be in the presence of God, seeing him face to face. And, oh man, I long for that day.
Yeah.
That's the hope of glory, right?
And that's the hope for the Jews, isn't it? And that's our hope for them, is that they would see Jesus as the sacrifice, as the high priest, as the temple itself.
And when he returns, I believe they will. But
yeah.
It's not through the temple sacrifices. That's right. Yes.
And I would just also say, though, that we don't, even if, because as you said, we're not sure completely what that looks like when Paul says that the Jews will be saved.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know when or how that will be. So what we shouldn't be doing is just waiting for Jesus to return before that we pray for the Jews or before we share the gospel with the Jews.
No, yes.
Like that God could be,
because
that could be another 100 years or 10,000 years from now before he returns or whenever.
And God has always reserved for himself a remnant
right.
of the people of Israel. And so, mm-hmm. yes, we
there
should
are
be
Jewish
proclaiming.
Christians even now,
yes,
right.
exactly. Right. And, you know, maybe we should just read a small part of that passage, because we referenced it in Romans 11, but Romans 11, starting verse 25, lest you be wise in your own sight, I do not want you to be unaware of this mystery, brothers. A partial hardening has come upon Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And then he quotes a scripture from the Old Testament. Then he goes, as regards the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. But as regards election, they are beloved for the sake of their forefathers. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. For just as you were at one time disobedient to God, but now have received mercy, talking to the Gentiles, because of their disobedience, so they too have now been disobedient in order that by the mercy shown to you, they also may now receive mercy. And so I guess I missed the part where he said all Israel will be saved.
It's up 22 or 24 something.
Okay, so it's up a little bit earlier in Romans 11. But he's talking there about the eventually that a partial hardening has come upon the Jewish people, and we see that even today, and yet it's a partial hardening.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord. And so, yes, we should be, if we have Jewish friends and neighbors or family members, we should be proclaiming the gospel to them that Jesus Christ is their Messiah and they need to be saved. And the only way to be saved is through by grace, through faith in Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's the message really of the book of Romans and the book of Galatians and much of the book of Hebrews is that Jesus is the Messiah. He is the one through whom the Jews and the Gentiles, all people, will be right. saved. If they will be saved, it must be by faith in him. And Romans 9, verse 6 and 7, and maybe on it says, but it is not as though the word of God has failed, talking about God's promise
Amen.
He made to Israel,
yes.
the ethnic Jews. He says, for not all who are descended from Israel belong to Israel, and not all are children of Abraham because they are his offspring, but through Isaac shall your offspring be named. This means that it is not the children of the flesh who are the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as offspring. so it's by faith that we have Abraham as our father. It's by faith that we are adopted into being spiritual Israelites in that sense. The promises that God made to Israel in the Old Testament had a some of them were just temporary promises to be fulfilled shortly, but all of them had a ultimate fulfillment. And it's for all the people of God, both Jew and Gentile, who are trusting in Jesus to get the fulfillment mm-hmm. of the ultimate aspect of those promises. Mm-hmm.
And I skipped verse 26 because I said, oh, it's just a quote from the Old Testament. That's where he said it. So I might as well read verse 26 from Romans 11. And in this way, all Israel will be saved. As it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion. That's mm-hmm. Jesus. And he will banish ungodliness from Jacob. And this will be my covenant with them when I take away their sins. And how's he going to take away their sins? Through the deliverer that comes from Zion.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. And so, yeah, the temple, every passage that speaks about the temple being, being desecrated, that's already happened. Now, there could be, that could have been just a partial fulfillment of that in AD mm-hmm. 70 as it was in earlier, and there could be another fulfillment or fulfillments of that, but there will be an ultimate aspect of the people of God being the temple of God today, spiritually speaking, that there will be and continue to be people who will try to set themselves up in the people of God to dishonor him, to claim, to call people after him, his people after himself, to try to take over the people of God, and whether it's through force or through deception. That has happened, and it is happening, it will happen. There's so many aspects of this that we can see that we do not have to have the temple being rebuilt, and I don't think we should be pro-temple rebuilding, pro-sacrifice resuming.
Right. Yeah, you mentioned Hebrews, and really a lot of the book of Hebrews is dedicated to showing how Christ fulfills the old covenant, mm-hmm. including the temple and the sacrifices. And at the end of chapter 8, the writer of Hebrews says, and speaking of a new covenant, so it's is referring to back to some passages of Old Testament prophecy to talk about new covenant. And in speaking of a new covenant, he makes the first one obsolete. And what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. And we'd say in 70 AD, it did vanish away because the temple sacrifices and that whole system was gone. And the writer of Hebrews goes to great lengths to show that Christ fulfill that. Those sacrifices are always intended to be temporary.
Yep.
They're always pointing to Christ as the final sacrifice.
Amen.
So yeah, like you said, we shouldn't be pro temple rebuilding because it is diminishing the who Christ is and his fulfilling of the temple.
Yeah, the uniqueness and the necessity of Christ, of believing in him.
Right.
So we should be pro Jesus being proclaimed. We should mm-hmm. be pro Jesus being believed in and being worshipped. Should not right. excite us when Jewish people are wanting to rebuild the temple, because that's a further rejection of evidence of the rejection yeah. of Christ as Messiah, as Jesus.
Amen.
And so in order for Jesus to return, we don't need to be looking for what's happening in the Middle East. And we don't need to be looking for what's happening with the Jewish people and the temple and the sacrifices. We need to be getting to what he's called us to do. He says, when I come, will I find you working? Will I find you doing what I've called you to do?
When I return, will I find mm-hmm. faith on the earth?
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so our desire would be that there would be a kind of grace and patience and understanding that, yes, there are people who we count as brothers and sisters in Christ who disagree with us on these things, and we would disagree with them, but we don't think all of them are heretics or the worst people in the world, and we can love them and be respectful to them. But we also would say there are some important things here that we wouldn't want to challenge or push back against, and want our people at Piney Ridge Church, to whom we are called to be accountable for, to see the truth where Jesus is supreme. And his scripture is our foundation, and that we don't look to other things as being our guide or as our hope for Jesus's return. We are in the last days, and we have been for a long time, and maybe for a short time or for a long time from now, but our focus and our faith should be always and only on Jesus.
Amen. You think we'll ever preach through the book of Revelation?
If Steve gets his way, we will.
Or Hebrews.
Or Hebrews, indeed.
Hey, I wonder if it would be helpful for people to know. I don't think we've mentioned these terms, but we've talked about the concepts that are kind of in these terms. Mm-hmm. That we come from a covenant theology perspective mm-hmm. that is different from a dispensational view. And so without going into those very much, kind of what we've been describing is more of a covenantal way of looking at scripture, whereas the dispensational view, there's a lot of nuances, but
yeah.
there is an expectation of a rebuilt temple in dispensationalism. So if people are, you know, wondering, maybe just come across those terms as they're looking into eschatology and things like that, might be helpful to know those terms and just where yeah. we're coming from.
Yeah, it can be helpful, I think, in having some terms that help you to have the conversation and to do some research and reading and studying. Of course, they can always be misused and abused, where you talk about the one-sidedism and the tribalism of, mm-hmm. oh, you got to be, if you're not in, I'm not going to ever right. talk to or listen to or yeah. befriend or, you know, care about anybody who's not in my camp. And that's unchristian. But if we were to, for studying purposes, it is helpful to and be able to discuss it, to have some of yeah. these terms.
And maybe someday we'll do a podcast or 10 on covenant theology.
Mm-hmm.
Might yeah. be helpful.
Well. And covenant theology does not only speak of eschatology.
Right.
No.
Right.
But there is a certain aspect of that makes mm-hmm. sense and consistent.
Yeah.
Any final thoughts?
That was my final thought.
What was his final thought?
That was the only one I had.
Well, then, Nathan, would you pray for our church, that we would have a Christ-centered, Christ-exalting, Bible-saturated view of our times and of these last days and of the end times?
Yeah. Let's pray. God, we praise you and thank you for your grace and your wisdom.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
That you have given us in your word all that we need. Mm-hmm. And we confess that sometimes we don't appreciate that or think that that's true. Sometimes we wish you had given us more mm-hmm. detail, more specifics. But God, we confess that as as sin and as trying to, as thinking of ourselves as wiser than you. But God, we just want to affirm that you are all wise.
Amen.
And you are good. You are loving. You've given us what we need, not more or less, to help us to treasure your word, to trust it. I pray that as a church, we will stay focused on what is central, Jesus Christ as our hope.
Amen.
From now and for eternity, and proclaiming him and seeking to be more like him.
Yeah.
In our love and our devotion to your word, our love for one another. I pray that we would encourage one another, that when we see the chaos in the world, that it would lead us back to your word, to be reminded of Christ, our hope, to look forward with longing to his return. In the day that he will set all things right, when justice will reign and rule, when creation will be repaired, and we will be with Jesus. I pray that our hope would be set there, and that we would then encourage one another. God, this world is dark.
Mm-hmm.
And so we praise you that we have hope, that we have light. Mm-hmm. And I pray that our greater awareness of the darkness of the world would lead us to want to see that light grow, so that the gospel would be even more and more on our hearts and on our lips.
Amen.
So that Jesus Christ would be lifted up. I pray that there would be unity in our church and in the church. That these things that are not central and not as clear as so many other things in your word wouldn't divide us, but that we could have real conversations about them, and that all our conversations about eschatology would lead us to more and more love for Jesus, more and more hope in Jesus, more and more love for this world, and a greater sense of urgency to see the gospel go forward, to see our own lives transformed to be more like Jesus.
Amen.
Because we want him to be glorified in all things, and we pray in his name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for listening. We have a new podcast each week, so be sure to subscribe on iTunes. For more information about Piney Ridge Church in Wentzville, Missouri, visit us online at pineyridgechurch.org. That's P-E-I-N-E, ridgechurch.org. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Piney Ridge. That's all for today. We look forward to seeing you on Sunday morning.